Because when we think about soldiers, gladiators, sport, military, it's really all about uniform, control, us versus them, in order to create this bond of those soldiers, the bond of these athletes, in order to go fight, in order to win. There is a necessity of unconsciousness within that. And so the gym setting is really just an extension of that mentality. That mentality is a lack mentality. The mentality is there's only one prize, one of us is going to get it. And so this is where, until we recognize and understand that concept and what that's all about, we won't be able to really understand how the gym setting itself has become this place where we don't feel comfortable. But that's embedded within the culture of sport.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. So I am sure in the realm of health, you have heard of meditation and spiritual exploration and really understanding that side of you. And you have also heard and recognized that we talk about fitness and exercise, but I bet you have really talked about the integration of these two things under one roof. My guest today, Stephanie Karlovitz, is a trainer by background and certainly an entrepreneur by spirit. She is the founder of Epic Fitness in Ottawa. And please don't be deceived by the idea that she is just another trainer. Stephanie is a thinker. She is someone moving the dial and pushing the needle as it pertains to how we integrate these very critical and important elements of our health. Stephanie has this tremendously successful wellness center, which happens to house practitioners and a gym. And what she's really trying to figure out right now in her exploration of someone who facilitates exercise and fitness and health and someone on her own spiritual journey is how we fit the two things together under one roof. What started as a problem for a health expert has become a challenge for an entrepreneur, and she shares the most interesting story and perspective on her journey thus far. It is truly my pleasure to introduce you to entrepreneur and health enthusiast, Stephanie Karlovitz. Stephanie Karlovitz, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Hi, Megan. Thanks for having me.
We're going to do some pretty epic things over the next hour. I'm just trying to throw a pun in there because you are the founder of Epic Fitness, and you are not just building out a gym model. You are disrupting the traditional boutique gym model. And I have so much to say on both the health side and the business side. And I am super stoked to jump into a conversation with you today. So welcome.
Thank you. I am also very, very excited. Thank you.
Well, let's give everyone a bit of a background before we start to unpack some really cool things, which is really the idea of pivoting and disrupting your business and your, you know, whole industry. But give us a background in terms of who you are and why you're just so perfectly poised to be able to speak to this today.
Well, so I guess the short end of it would be that I was an athlete my whole life. So as a child, my mom threw me into gymnastics at five. I remember distinctly doing tricep dips on a mat at a very young age, forecasting the rest of my life, unbeknownst to me. And I was always a very hyperactive kid and, you know, loved to move and always wanted to know what we were doing next. And I always wanted to get my hands dirty in whatever was happening. And so gymnastics was sort of like my first love. And then I got put into figure skating at 8 years old. And then that became my true love. And I just really, really enjoyed the freedom of skating and feeling the wind in my hair. And I love the athleticism of it. the community feel, everything about it was just, you know, and it was also a very technical sport too. So it was something to be challenged with and to work on. It's not something that comes overnight. It's something that you really have to work on. I mean, also what's important maybe to note is that I came from a military family. So we moved around quite a bit. And so I was sort of like used to being the new girl in a lot of different places. And sport was really something that anchored me. And I knew that I would have community no matter where I went, just because I would be enrolled in some sort of sport wherever I was, particularly figure skating. So I did that for a bit. And then I moved to Ottawa, and that became my home at around 15 years old. And then I, finished high school, went to university, kind of gave up figure skating, which is its own thing, as I got older, and moved into personal training at 18. Not, of course, knowing what that would have meant to me over the course of my life, and definitely probably never would have thought that I'd still be a personal trainer, although I'll bet a different personal trainer than I was. But yeah, and then things sort of unfolded. I opened Epic in 2012 and I've been owning it ever since, and that was 7 years ago.
And take us through a little bit of the journey, because I said to you before we started today, I was like, and I know what you're doing is so incredibly cool. And what you left out is that you're this incredible entrepreneur, and you're always sort of leading the edge in terms of how you do things. But I said, is Epic a gym? And you're like, well, we're not even really sure. We're not even really sure what it is right now. And I would love for you to just unpack that a little bit, because I think for both of us, we've had sufficient experience in the, I'll call it the health space. And even for me, how I deliver care in a classic clinical model, I'm like, it's not quite cutting it. Like, it's not quite getting the results that I want in its most traditional iteration. And I kind of feel like that's maybe where you're at. Can you take us through a little bit about what this entrepreneurial brain of yours is trying to reconcile?
I love that. It's absolutely true. There's definitely this little bit of tension. I won't say struggle, but it's always this creative tension to really be clear and accurate with people about what we do. And I think I've always had a very detailed brain, and I've always been very much, I guess, like corrective. You know, if someone hasn't really said the right thing or doesn't have the right thought process when they are describing us or defining us, or even me, I've struggled this with in terms of my public image and just how I come across as a female leader, as an entrepreneur. I've always had this obsession with getting things right, so to speak. And so with that is this kind of creative tension that's always been inside of me, especially when I was practicing as a personal trainer, having a formal education in psychology, but then also having the athletic background when I would work with work with clients when I was just starting out. I knew that mindset intuitively was very important. I also knew that there was more to just doing lunges and doing push-ups. And I knew the chemistry and the science of getting someone to lose a bunch of weight, which we would do, but it generally wouldn't stick. And I was really interested as to why. And so I kind of had this chase for my entire career to figure out what is the root cause of things. And I know that that lingo is thrown around a lot, but and everyone seems to think that they've got the root cause. But I think that there is a very simple, simple truth to what that root cause is for most people. And I have been on the search for that since I started. And so, like, along my path, like what I've been, like how I knew where to go next was really informed by my client. So if my client had knee pain earlier in my career, I'd never experienced knee pain. I never had that injury. So then I would go research knees and I would understand the science of it. And so then I would sort of like be able to inform my client about what exercises we were going to do and how I was going to refer them out maybe to a physiotherapist or what my next steps were. And along the way, I was given, I'll say, clients that really took me to the next level. And so it was biomechanical with physical. Then it turned biochemical, obviously nutrition being a big part of things. So I did my designation in holistic nutrition. And then I found a lot of mindset and psychological stuff. I had a client with an eating disorder. So I went down that rabbit hole trying to figure that out. And then I had a lot of clients with depression and anxiety. I had clients with autoimmune diseases. I had clients with cancer. I had, you know, professional athletes, entrepreneurs. And so each client I attracted at a very interesting time where the next level and my next curiosity was satisfied by whatever ailment they were dealing with. And over the course of all that time, we've sort of come to a place where, you know, even Epic Fitness, the word fitness doesn't feel right anymore. And being called a personal trainer doesn't feel quite right anymore. And when anyone walks into Epic Fitness, it's certainly a gym, but it's not really. I'm in this limbo of really, what is it that we do? And what is that word that defines us? And what is the next, really, the new age version of the gym environment? Because the old way, frankly, boring. It is not helpful. It has sort of a tone of the patriarchy and the shaming, and comes with competitiveness and a lack mentality. And where we're moving in humanity is moving against all of that, moving in the opposite direction, which I think is where the gym environment needs to go next.
I really find this so fascinating. And I know in some of the things that we're looking at unpacking in this conversation, is part of this idea is like, where's the role of spirituality in a gym setting and consciousness in a gym setting? And two things come to mind around that idea, and I really want to get your perspective on it, is one of my friends and colleagues, Lori Kennedy, she was talking on the podcast about how she meditates at the gym. Mm-hmm. Because it's the time where she gets to be alone. And her trainer, she said to her trainer, like, the last 15 minutes of all of our training sessions, she's like, I want you to force me into that corner, and I'm going to meditate there every single day, because that's where I actually have space, and this is me time, and that's what works for her. And for her, like, the gym is that spiritual, it is a place where she connects to herself and her soul and her vision and all of these pieces. And then there's also a trainer in Toronto. There's probably many of them, but one who a bunch of my patients have seen. And you cannot work with him unless you're also committed to, like, unpacking the spiritual elements of movement. And it's so fascinating, the results that people are starting to get. Can you just, like, having placed those two things on the table, can you just speak to this idea of, like, is there an opportunity, and what is the intersection for spirituality in a gym setting, in a movement setting, in that context?
I love this. I think there's a couple different elements. One thing I want to touch on is the essence of sport as something that's unconscious, and competitiveness as something that is unconscious. And this is pretty multifactorial, and there's a lot here, and I love the philosophical element of this. Because when we think about soldiers, gladiators, sport, military, it's really all about uniform, control, us versus them, in order to create this bond of those soldiers, the bond of these athletes, in order to go fight, in order to win. There is a necessity of unconsciousness within that. And so the gym setting is really just an extension of that mentality. That mentality is a lack mentality. The mentality is, there's only one prize. One of us is going to get it. And so this is where, until we recognize and understand that concept and what that's all about, we won't be able to really understand how the gym setting itself has become this place where we don't feel comfortable. But that's embedded within the culture of sport. And so in order to bring spirituality into the mix, spirituality being, I'm conscious, I'm awake, I'm attracting the things that are happening in my life, however devastating they may be. I take radical responsibility for myself. I face truths. I am not my mind. I'm the observer of my mind. My mind is a program helping me as a human in the species on Earth, helping me survive. That's what its role is, but it's not who I am. So once you're spiritual, you can't be competitive anymore. It's this really weird thing where it's really tough to reconcile competition, because you have compassion, your heart is full. You don't want the other person to fail. You know, you have kind thoughts about them. It's this weird middle ground of where you're trying to reconcile drive and ambition and, you know, fight to the death and fight through pain, which is a bit unconscious. And then you're like, how do I then? And this is where a lot of people get stuck. A lot of yoga instructors get stuck. A lot of people who are waking up get stuck here. They think, okay, well then, you know, I should not want money. I don't know how to express my ambition. How do I reconcile these things? And I call this the middle. It's not the end. Like, we don't end there. The next step beyond that is really what you're talking about and sort of where we're moving as a company and also within myself and what we teach is to be able to rise to your highest good for yourself, knowing that by doing so, you help the people around you, and your drive and your ambition is really to roll out the plan of your soul in order for you to be able to have experience here on earth. I know that sounds extremely woo-woo, and it is, but when we start to create frameworks around spirituality and really understand with our logic mind what that means, we can understand what kind of phase we're in. And I think everyone who kind of wakes up has this place where they think, what does anything mean anymore? Like, money doesn't matter. You know, my ambition doesn't matter. Why am I fighting so hard? Why am I trying so hard? Everything is love. Everything is fine. You know, you get into this weird bliss place, but then you find yourself trying to still integrate in society and be like, I have a mortgage to pay and I have a car payment. And, you know,
all those details,
those little things. And so the end of that road and the next step is that integration, the integration that, you know, we aren't going to be completely in our bodies and feel every little tiny pain and stop. We're going to work through this workout. We're going to challenge ourselves out of self-love, not self-punishment. So at the bottom where we talked about sport and soldiers and fight and that kind of thing, that's really a place of punishment. It's a place of grit and sort of like, I ate a cake last night, so I'm going to work it off. I'm going to do these lunges till I sweat because I need to punish myself. And then we move through that middle ground place where we start to have compassion. We learn about self-love. We learn about what's blocking us from that, our parents, the conditioning, our mind, and how it's playing tricks on us. And then we move to this, hopefully, this next step, which is, I deserve abundance. I deserve challenge because it shows me who I am. And I get to get to new heights in my life and design my life. And I'm here to experience. And in order to experience, I've got to create contrast, which is I need to go through pain in order to feel bliss. And I need to be in a place of self-love in order to push myself and to achieve. So I think people are not quite, people may have not put vocabulary to that process within themselves, or even understand, like that trainer who's, I love to hear that this is happening where, you know, he's saying, okay, unless you're willing to open up and really work on some stuff inside, then there's no point to me training you on the outside. You know, he's identified this and has moved people forward. But as a culture, this is where we're moving. And it is a weird middle ground right now where we're piecing it together and trying to find what it's called. I don't think we know yet.
They say that you are the product of the five people with whom you spend the most time. Imagine you could spend time with hundreds of fellow entrepreneurs and go-getters looking to up-level their business, body, and mindset. The Entrepology Collective does not belong to us. It belongs to you. Come hang out with us on Facebook and let us collectively inspire, support, and cheerlead you towards your vision for contribution, your commitment towards better health, and your journey of mindset mastery. We are in this together. We are entrepreneurs by birth, by choice, and by mission. We are the Entrepology Collective. Search for us on Facebook and come join your tribe. Yeah, I don't think we know yet either. And, you know, part of it is just people's, they're on a continuum of awareness. And it's why I say to people in my own practice, I'm like, I just don't treat weight loss. Like, I don't do it. And I don't do it because I don't think it's actually what you want. And so no matter how hard we work and how close we get to that goal, you're going to feel the same way you do right now, even though you think you're going to feel different. And it's the same thing when you're training just from I want to be able to lift this, or I want to look like this, or I want to fit into those pants. Like, there's a lack of depth to that desire that will haunt you as soon as you get to that goal. And I feel like part of this whole conversation stems from the fact that we've both seen that over and over mm-hmm. and over again. And so yeah. The universal truth is not that you actually want to lose weight or fit into your size 6 pants. The universal truth is that you want to feel whole and connected so that you can do your thing. Mm-hmm. It's just interesting listening to you describe it, because I was like, I've seen that from an entirely different angle.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's the thing that I struggled with as a young trainer. Is, you know, I've always had this very fiery, like, no one could tell me I couldn't do something. And so when a client would come to me with this challenge, like, you know, I have low energy, my knees hurt, nothing's worked for me in the past, I need to lose 60 pounds, I was like, I'm going to be the one mm-hmm. to help you achieve this. Like, this, we're going to do this together. I mean, you know, I would just eat that up. And so that's what made me a great trainer. But of course, I would get them there and we would get there together. And I would have this person look in the mirror and I'm like so proud, and I'm every step of the way, and they're not seeing it. And they're not feeling what I'm feeling as a coach. And I'm like, oh my God, you just showed up 3 times a week, killing yourself. You know, I'm coaching you, we're doing this together, you're sweating, you're sore, like, you know, you're doing all this great stuff, we're getting there, and I know this isn't going to stick, and I know you're not even happy. And so you can only do that so many times where you realize, okay, like, I'm not going to bang my head against the wall here. It's not about the weight loss. There's something that's not congruent here. And I think a lot of the reason why it's not congruent is because that whole concept of I need to be X in order to Y, which is belong, be loved, fit in, be successful, is just an equation that does not, it's not real. We were programmed with that. So it's never going to work, because the truth is you belong already. You're whole already. You're just a little bit out of alignment because you have this lack mentality, which is that you have to be a certain way at a certain time in order to get whatever it is that you think that you need. But the truth is, it's from being out of alignment to begin with and not perceiving yourself as whole right now in your body and following your heart and the truth. That's what's got you to the place of unconsciousness and therefore, you know, out of not feeling good.
So how do we build this into one's experience in terms of acquiring fitness and exercise and movement?
Well, I mean, I think the answer is really unpopular in terms of what clients want to hear. You know, it's really, I find it so funny because I know that clients are willing to spend tens and thousands of dollars and tens of thousands of hours to put in hard work into something versus looking at themselves, you know, which is free, of course, and you can do it right now and start that journey. And
don't make it that easy.
But it's a testament to, you know, obviously it's not easy. Like, we would rather run away. We would rather move, you know, go cross country, you know, ruin all of our relationships and spend all our money and just to move to a place in order to then be met again with ourselves and realize, oh shit, I thought I was getting rid of all of that, but this person who is me followed me and here I am again. And I think, you know, it's part of our culture. It's a North American problem that, you know, you can fix your inner self by purchasing whatever or by implementing these quick five habits to change your life, you know, that are like universal. And of course, it's not that simple. It's harder in that you have to sit with yourself and get to know yourself and start to create some awareness, even if it just starts with the physical awareness. Like, how are you holding your posture in a board meeting? That's a first level of awareness. What are the words I'm using? Do I say one word often? And can I catch myself doing it? You know? And so I think like it starts with some physical awareness. Where is my body in space? And then it gets to, wow, you know, I'm having these triggers. I'm noticing these emotional triggers with certain people, with certain places, with certain things. I'm noticing emotional patterns that are coming up. I keep attracting, let's take responsibility, I keep attracting this type of cycle or pattern in my life, whether it's in a romantic relationship or a work environment, or even just with yourself, whether it's I get into health and then I fall out of health, and I get into health and I fall out of health. What is that? And then I think we move into a spiritual place, which is having spiritual awareness, which is allowing for yourself to listen and sit with yourself and actually perhaps get in tune with the messages that are coming your way, and sitting back with ease and not trying so hard. Because I think that's another thing that distracts us, is we feel like we keep having to go get something when really we can just allow for something to come to us. I don't know if that answers your question.
It totally does. I'm thinking about this idea and that is so perpetuated in entrepreneurship, which isn't even a word. But we even talk about on this podcast about being a go-getter, because I think that is such a self-identifiable label, and there's so much pride that gets wrapped up in that particular label. I also think that this idea of attracting is like it's something that you only get to access in an evolved state. Mm-hmm. And when I remember when The Secret came out, I don't know, 15 years ago or when 20 years ago or 10 years ago, whenever that was, back then when it came out, it was very interesting to me to listen to people's feedback from it, because often people are like, oh yeah, I've already been living that way. It totally works. And then other people who had actually been quite successful in their life, having a sense of resentment around it, because they're like, oh, things don't come that easily. You have to work and struggle and drive to right. get every last scrap of thing that you have. And they were very territorial. And I think the secret is that you actually have to have this sort of yin and yang of both, which is part of the sense that I'm getting from you. But so much of our common entrepreneurial vernacular is so wrapped up in being driven and attacking and type A-ing our way to success.
Yes. And you know what? I am reformed. I'm a reformed type A, super masculine, lack mentality type of person. I was just born that way. And of course, my parents just reinforced all of that. And so I've had to unpack, unwind, rewire my entire body, my entire mind, my spirit. And of course, I think the only thing that saved me as a kid was that my parents were really religious. I was brought up in like the Catholic Church. I was really involved. I did extra religious. And I remember having this immense amount of soul, like safety, and the amount of, I would pray a lot. And so, although, you know, I wasn't thinking necessarily in my favor, I was very negative. I was brought up very competitive. And, you know, I was one of those girls who thought girls were the enemy in a lot of ways. Didn't have a lot of, positive relationships with women in my early days, recognized that, turned it around, figured it out. But and then of course, being ambitious in career really, again, reinforced that sort of lack mentality. And I've got to get, if I want something in life, I've got to go get it. No one else is going to help me. I can only depend on myself, this uber self-reliance. And then of course, entrepreneurship was really the same thing. But then I think you get to a point, I don't know if it's true for most people, but I certainly got to a point when I just got tired. And I think it was around my 30th birthday-ish, and I had already had so much trauma in my life and so much stuff that I was running away from that I realized this can't be it. Like, I can't do this for another 70 years if I'm lucky, or even 50 years if I'm lucky, you know? Like, where does it go from here, you know? Like, what is the rest of the journey going to be like? Because I've achieved all the things I want to achieve. You know, I could write a memoir right now and be pretty happy, except that I don't feel good. Like, the facts line up and I'm proud of the facts. You know, I'm proud of the resume. I'm proud of the achievements. But at 30 years old, like, there's got to be a different way to do this. And I can't possibly do this forever. So there's got to be something else I'm missing whereby I can do this for the rest of my life and actually be immensely fulfilled in all ways. And that has really led to a lot of, you know, things that I would usually roll my eyes at, like the word healing and, you know, the divine feminine, and really coming into my power from a place of ease, and identifying and listening to what's around me. And self-love has been a huge part of that for me, and also for my clients and our clients at Epic. Same with our team, you know, mentoring young trainers and people that have come along my way in a student form, helping them to really understand self-love and to understand the yin and yang and all of that. But it's been quite a journey. And I think I love what you said about the entrepreneurship kind of mentality. Is a lot of people view me as someone who's really strong and someone who's really driven. And I mean, I get feedback a lot in meetings when someone doesn't know me that well, where they say, like, I've got to commend you on your hustle. And I think to myself, oh my gosh, I'm hustling so much less than I ever have in my entire life. You know, I'm like, I'm really not hustling anymore. That's the whole point, is I'm really allowing. And that has been the most magical and the most productive. And in terms of my career, I've had way more achievements in that realm than I ever did when I was trying so hard, which is a tough thing to believe until you, I think, really experience it.
Hey, you. If you're a colleague, if you're a practitioner, if you are seeing patients, if you are looking to up-level your impact in the health and wellness space, I wanted to let you know that we are hosting one heck of an amazing event taking place on November 21, 22, 23 in Toronto. Impact Lives is our signature flagship event that takes place on an annual basis, and it is a coming together of some of the most impactful people in the health and wellness industry. Over the 3 days, we are unpacking the mindset that has been holding you back from achieving the impact you have always dreamed of. We are spending a day looking at new tactics and techniques, some of the things that people are using in a cutting edge capacity to take their impact and their practice to the next level. And if you want to join us for our VIP bonus day, we are going deep in a workshop setting, 6 different workshops to up-level your mindset, your business, and your impact. Impact Lives is an incredible experience. And our promise to you this year is that when you walk through the door, you will not be capable of leaving as the same person you were when you arrived. If you want to learn more about how you can participate in Impact Lives, check us out online, www.impactlivesevent.com. I cannot wait to see you there. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do for your clients? Like, what does this mean? What does this mean for them in terms of the intersection of their experience and work with you and its capacity to start to fuel them forward?
Do you mean in terms of the like, if someone comes in from a health and wellness perspective?
Yeah. Like, what are they going to get? How do they get to join you on this journey, start where they're at right now, and then leverage this wisdom so that they really are looking at that integration of mind and body?
I think the key is that I only reveal to the client what they're willing to receive. So I hold a lot of cards in my back pocket. You know, this conversation that you and I are having right now, I'm sure people are going to listen to this and be like, okay, wait, that's Stephanie on the phone. Like I talk about spirit. I talk about, these aspects with the right audience. I don't talk about it with a lot of people who I'm not going to say aren't ready. Cause that feels condescending. It's not a readiness thing. It's more of, maybe an interest. Yeah. Or like an interest, like, or that's just not the way that they are going to go about it, but we're all talking the same language. For example, one of the four pillars that we really focus on at Epic is nature. That really is spirit, but you can call it nature. You can call it God. You can call it science. You can call it energy, but it's just a word. It means all of the same thing. So as I'm trying to get clients more conscious, what's also running parallel to that is I'm getting them healthy. Because when you think of health, it's about being in control. I think a lot of people who don't feel healthy, who aren't from a biomarker perspective healthy, feel wildly out of control. I don't know what my body's doing. I don't know why it's against me. I feel like I'm trying. It's not listening to me. We don't feel like we are aligned. We don't feel in control of it. And we don't know what's happening. So as I am coming from a perspective of, okay, this person, their mind wants to lose 50 pounds, but their body is not listening because it's not getting what it needs. And at the core of it, they're not living their truth because perhaps they, you know, they're not making themselves happy. They're putting themselves last. They're feeding themselves food that's not alive. It's dead food. So therefore they feel more dead. They have relationships in their life that are toxic, that are not supportive, that are negative. Maybe they feel trapped by their relationship. There's so many things going on, but I'm not going to talk about that necessarily. The first thing I do is from a psychosomatic perspective, I get them to move. And when we get people to move and we get them to open their arms up and we get them to open their heart and we get them to do movements around the gym that requires them to be expansive and open, we see a lot of uncomfortability at first, for sure, but that is going to start getting them to open up in their mind, open up in their heart, and open up in their life. So I don't need to go through this whole spiel of what's really going on, and I'm not even going to talk about their relationships necessarily. I don't even need to really give them a lesson about spirituality or consciousness, because I can start with movement and have them open up just in general. And then if I have that happen, then natural conversations or natural interests can follow and I can see where we need to go next. So it's like a very intuitive process.
Who's your ideal client?
Me, I work with entrepreneurs. I work with people of influence. And there's two reasons for that. One of my life missions is to really help the intellect tap into body intelligence and spirit intelligence so that they become superhuman. And of course, I only want to empower those people who are doing good in the world because we don't want that moving towards evil. And the second reason is because I think I have a good handle on what's going on with them. Not only being an entrepreneur myself, but you know, I never had as an entrepreneur the quote unquote luxury of putting my health aside for business because I'm the face of my company and I am teaching things where I need to be a role model. And I can't just say, you know, you have to wake up and do your morning cocktail with lemon and sea salt and then meditate, do some movement, ask yourself what your word of the day is, your near intention, and then plan your day out and then train and then journal at night. I can't say do those things where I'm not willing to do them myself, or I'm going to say to myself, okay, for this next year, it's going to be really tough or it's going to be really challenging, or I have a goal in mind and we're going to make this much money and we're going to expand. And so I'm not going to have time to do that epic cocktail. Or I'm not going to have time to do my morning stretch. I don't have that luxury. And I put luxury in quotations because of course it's not one, but I've had to figure this out. I've had to learn how to be an entrepreneur and face risk and build what I've wanted to build from an artist perspective and pool all of my energy and all my teachings into a company that can help people who this resonates with. At the same time, it's required me to go through a personal journey to be able to make sure that I can be in the best health of my life in order to be able to do that. And I think entrepreneurship has sort of had maybe this element of I'm going to put my health on a shelf. And when I've gotten to this little imaginary place where I've made this much money, or I've got the car, or I've got some sense of security or some safety, then I'm going to pick my health back up and then, you know, just go where I left off. And of course, that's never the case. So a lot of my clients, you know, their early 20s, they were in law school or they were in medical school, and they opened up practices and they grew their clinics, and they'd come to me at like 39 to 55, a little bit broken. They're using their own words, broken in body. They've gained a lot of weight, high blood pressure. They're feeling unfulfilled. They've gotten to all of these achievements that they've wanted to have, but they feel like they're not any happier. And I think a lot of it's because they haven't taken their soul or their heart with them along the way. It's just been their mind the whole time.
Yeah. And it's one of those classic situations where if only I could do it all again, or hindsight is 2020, right? If we could, we could absolutely look back. I feel like there's so much to you as an entrepreneur, and we could carry on this conversation all day, but I want to transition where we go in the interview. And just like we have them in our businesses, we have KPIs or key performance indicators and in how we live our lives as well. And so I've got some quick rapid fire questions for you so we can give our readers or our listeners or whoever you guys are, our listeners, some perspective in terms of who you are as an individual. Are you ready?
Great. I'm ready.
Who is inspiring you right now?
Who's inspiring me right now? I would say I'm really bad at rapid fire questions, just so you know, but I'm still trying my best. I would say, you know, I'm in the middle of a course right now. I'm just taking time away to do this interview, but, the facilitator, Catherine, she's inspiring me right now with her teachings, and I'm learning a lot about energy. So I would say her, Catherine.
Love it. Fiction or nonfiction? What are you reading?
Oh, I'm always nonfiction. Always.
It's funny how we entrepreneurs tend to do that.
Yeah.
What do you have open on your nightstand at the moment?
Oh gosh. Well, an amethyst crystal would be one thing I have on my nightstand, but, I'm reading a book about energy medicine because that's where I am in my learnings right now. So, I forget the name of the woman. Actually, I don't. It's Jill Blakeway. So she's very interesting. Great journey.
Very cool. What is one thing you are most consistent with respect to your health?
I would say a lot of things. Sleep. I have my epic cocktail every morning. I do my morning stretch every morning. I do my daily planner every morning. That's really consistent. That absolutely anchors me in my day. And that's pretty much, it's non-negotiable.
What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
It's a good one. Well, I used to play the piano. I went to grade 9 piano by the time I was, I think I want to say 11, wow. But I hated it every moment of it. I don't like sitting much, but that's something probably people don't know.
Do you play now?
No, I don't like it.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to just segue here for 1 second, because this is a struggle and I would love other people's perspective on this, but my kids are in piano. Mm-hmm. And I struggle with the feedback of like, I'm not sure I really love this. Like, of all the things I could be doing, I'm not sure I want to do it. And I always wish someone had just forced me to do piano. So I'm like, you're gonna do piano for the time being. But this is really interesting. It didn't work for you.
No, my dad forced me to do quite a few things that I have ended up resenting. I have forgiven him, of course, but piano was something I hated every moment of it. Like, honestly, and I don't regret. Like, I really appreciate people playing music in front of me, and I love music, but my life was not enriched by being forced to play the piano. I'll just give you that piece.
Okay. These are good little, just a little tidbits taken away. What do you do for fun or play?
Oh man. I love dancing. I love singing. I have poi that I do, which is kind of like a flow art thing. I love traveling to New York City. I climb mountains. I really like laughing and not taking myself seriously because I can get very serious in what my craft is and what I do for work. So I like enjoying people and just like, you know, having a good time.
And last question for you, Stephanie, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I don't know the answer to that. I think that in order to be a good entrepreneur, I think you have to learn a lot and you have to be willing to face yourself. You have to be willing to work on the things that don't come natural to you. I think very few people are born having the intuition to and the skill set for all aspects of being an entrepreneur because it requires you to know a lot and a lot of conflicting things, skill sets. But I think everything is learned if you're willing. I think that you can incubate yourself with the right people around you, especially now with social media and Google and all these private education institutions coming up. There is absolutely no reason why anybody can't be an entrepreneur. I think it's the revolution of the entrepreneur. There's more information than ever. So I would say that you're probably born with some instincts, but the other ones you can fill out through learning.
On that very inspirational note, where can we send people, Stephanie, to learn more about what it is that you are up to?
Well, epicfitnessottawa.com is our website, /founder. You get to know me a bit better. I am like a poet on Instagram. I always just put my musings there. So if you kind of like where I'm at or if what I'm saying resonates with you, then you can always connect with me there. But or if you're in Ottawa, of course, come by at Epic Fitness. We have a ton of free events like hikes. We have a retreat coming up next year, so you can always connect with us just by showing up.
And I'm going to throw down one more opportunity where people can hang out with you. You are coming to Toronto. You are going to be speaking at our event, Impact Lives, in November.
I'm very excited for that.
Well, and we're super excited to have you. Stephanie Karlovitz, thanks so much for spending some time with us today.
Thanks, Megan. Appreciate it.
Well, how was that for an interesting episode? If you enjoyed my guest as much as I did, I would love to hear from you over on Apple Podcasts. If you could share a review, or even more importantly, if you know someone who would enjoy this episode, share a link to it with one of your friends. Now, I want to do something a little bit different this week. I want to leave you with a challenge. You know, I think that sometimes meditation and mindfulness, they get a bad rap. We think we need to sit there with complete absence in our mind. And frankly, it couldn't be any further from the truth. What I would love to hear from you this week are your own chronicles and journeys and attempts at this meditation and mindfulness exercise. Come on over and hang out with us in the Entrepology Collective and share with us this. What have you done this week to at least twice engage in a mindfulness practice? This might mean climbing the side of a mountain. It might mean going for a morning walk. It might mean sitting in silence for a minute. It might even mean quietly contemplating in a bubble bath. Whatever it is for you, we'd love to hear it because your journey is our journey too. Until next week, go build something amazing, do something mindful, and we'll talk to you soon.